Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We'll bring the chapter Babu Istihbab al-Tabshiri wa Tahniyati bil-Khayri, the chapter on the preferability, the desirability of giving glad tidings and congratulations on the performance of good deeds. So as we have been doing, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh has brought Quranic ayat to substantiate his chapter that he has brought. And this is the normal style of the muhaddithin, is that they bring first the strongest proof to substantiate their chapter. They would normally start with ayat of the Quran. So he brought ayat of the Quran to show giving of glad tidings directly to a person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرِضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. And then, so the one is glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Then the second is via a wasta. Also glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but via a means. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. Allah ta'ala says that indeed our messengers came to Ibrahim alayhi salam with glad tidings. And in the other ayat we did, وَمْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَّحِكَتْ فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. So all these different ayat are here to show us that to give glad tidings directly is something that is found, is something that is established. To give glad tidings via using a messenger, to send a message with somebody, or under this to even use a medium, for example to use the telephone, to phone someone and give them glad tidings, to congratulate them, khush khabri, mubarak badi. So all these things are proven that a person uses some means, whether he uses an email, he uses a fax, whether he uses a telephone, some means is being used. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُ الْمَسِيحِ. Allah Ta'ala again used Malaika to give the message. So now these were the ayat that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought. So today we start off with the first hadith that he has brought under this chapter. عن أبي إبراهيم يقال أبو محمد ويقال أبو معاوية عبد الله بن أبي أوفى رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر خديجة رضي الله عنها ببيت في الجنة من قصب لا صخب فيه ولا نصب. متفق عليه. Hazrat Abu Ibrahim, who is also known as Abu Muhammad, and Hazrat Abu Muawiyah Abdullah ibn Abi Ufa رضي الله عنه, he narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha glad tidings of a mansion of pearls in Jannah in which there will be no noise and no fatigue. Just before we go into the hadith, just to understand what a maqam Allah ta'ala had given Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she was the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first one of our mothers. And she bore all the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he was now from Hazrat Maria Qibtiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So she was the first, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was the first to accept Islam. She spent all her wealth for the cause of Islam. Whatever money she had, she spent all of it for the cause of Islam. She consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he had little support. She was the pillar of support with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not marry. She had passed away in the 10th year after Nubuwat. Anyway, just explaining this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often go to the cave of Hira, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go there, and he would contemplate, and he would ponder. So on one occasion, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was there with Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would pack, like what we say, padkos, she would pack food, and she would bring it to the cave, often for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring food for him, some provisions for him. So on one occasion when she had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was present. And on that occasion, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam now tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives, well, he mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the, now the muqaddama of this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave salams, that on that occasion was the salams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give her glad tidings of a mansion of pearls in Jannah. in such a mansion where there will be no noise and no fatigue. The hadith uses three words to describe this. One is qasab. Qasab is to be something that is hollowed out. Such a mansion that is hollowed out. Kokla huay, although we say. Now here, the word is very simple, qasab. Now we will normally just think that it's a hollowed out mansion, hollowed out palace. But if a person understands a little bit of architecture and modern architecture, and a person even understands even the old architecture, what effort would go, what engineering would go into getting a structure that has very little structural walls, has very little pillars, has very little support from the inside. The more, the less structural walls, the more hollowed out, the more open plan it can be, the more expensive it would be, number one, the more luxurious it would be, the more, one would say that this will be the more, the one that is more upmarket. So therefore you find that most of the modern styles, the designs you'll find very, very minimalistic. So sometimes they try and they put from floor to ceiling glass, they try to do without the internal walls, without the extra beams and without the extra columns to try and get that level of pomp and that luxury. So they would do this. You know, you'll even find that millions and millions of rands are spent just to give it that that flavor or that feel of it looking like a shell or looking like a pearl. Just for our understanding purposes, we've got the stadium that's here in the famous stadium, soccer stadium. People would have seen pictures of it or may have drove past. That's an iconic Durban. But how many hundreds of millions of rands was spent just to give it that shell finish, like a pearl finish. So much of money was spent, but yet they couldn't do without the internal walls, the internal structures. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one word, he's telling us about the luxury, the pomp, the glory and the glitter of the palace of Jannah, that it is hollowed out. Can you get a structure? Can you find a fully hollowed out structure? We can't get it. It's very, very difficult to find something that is like this. But just to show the architecture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to give us a glimpse and an idea, it is million more times better than the open plan, the minimalistic designs of this world, the palace of Jannah. The next thing that was mentioned was there would be no noise. Wala sakhaba fihi. There'd be no noise in it. And we know that to enjoy anything, there must be silence, there must be peace, there must be tranquility. Our Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sahab was explaining to us yesterday in class that some complexes and some buildings, they even restrict the number of people that can stay in the units. For example, we don't allow more than 3 children, more than 4 children staying in each unit. Why? Because we're trying to restrict the noise that is in the complex to give you that upmarket feel. When there is less noise and less disturbances from outside, less traffic noise, less noise of people, less noise that is coming even from the aeroplanes that are going past and from the other vehicles that are using that area, it gives it a more upmarket feel. So in one word, Rasulullah Sallam is describing what an upmarket design or the upmarket feel that this palace would be, that there will be no noise there at all. So one, it is very luxurious, one will be no noise. And the third thing, to enjoy anything, a person mustn't get tired, he mustn't get sick, there mustn't be any type of weakness. So here Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, wala nasaba, there will be absolutely no fatigue. A person stays up a little bit late, in the morning he's tired in this world. A person exerts himself a little, he goes for a small walk, or a person has to go for a run, he's already tired. But in Jannah you can exert yourself as much as you want, there's absolutely no fatigue. So in three words Rasulullah Sallallahu described how beautiful, how nice, how enjoyable the palace and the enjoyment of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha would be. And this is applicable to all of us, inshallah. If we also make an effort, Allah ta'ala will also give us this beauty in general, the beauty of the palaces and the designs of the palaces, the beauty and the surrounds of Jannah, and the beauty of the health also a person will experience in Jannah. But the effort that we have to do is work towards that Jannah. So one day we can enjoy it and we can get it. Now what is in our hands is to make an effort so that we can get and work towards Jannah. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making an effort. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of striving towards this Jannah. It was when Alim, he mentioned that he spent many years with Hazrat Maulana Abrar Sahib from Hardoi. So he says Hazrat Maulana Abrar Sahib had asked him once, he said that you spent so many years with me here, what did you learn from me? What did you learn? Sometimes the ustads, they try to test the students by asking them the question. So he said, I thought for a while and I told him, I saw your ihtimam upon sunnat, how particular you are about miswak, how particular you are about your tahajjud, how particular you are about your timings and about your mamulat, etc. I noticed all this from you, and this is what I learned from you. So he says, you should have picked up one thing from me. If you picked up this one thing, you would have picked up a lot. He says that from the morning, not to show off, but to try and teach the student, he says, you'll notice that from the morning till the evening, there's only one fikr, and it is the fikr of akhirat. If you notice that, there is no other fikr. The fikr from morning till evening that we are practicing upon is the fikr of akhirat. In other words, our concern, our whole concern is the life of the year after. Everything that we do must be with that mindset, that will it help me in akhirat, will it be of benefit to me in akhirat, then only I will do it. Obviously, there should be some benefit also of a person doing things for this world, but ultimately, it is done for the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of making amal. And this is the jamaat in our masjid. Alhamdulillah, those brothers that have got time to spend some time with the jamaat to take them out, inshallah, they'll be here till after Jummah. So we should try and give some time if we are free, if we got some time, then we should try and spend it with the jamaat, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين